My dad works in B2B marketing, but I never really knew what that meant. Then one day, my dad came by my school for career day and told everyone in my class he was a big MQL man. Then he just kept saying things like, the more MQLs, the better, over and over. My friends still laugh at me to this day. I think it means marketing qualified lead. One thing's for sure, I'll be known as the MQL man's kid for the rest of my days. Why couldn't you just be a fireman or a lawyer? Why? You ruined my life, Dad.
Not everyone gets B2B, but LinkedIn has the people who do. And with ads on LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people based on job title, industry, likelihood to buy, and more. Start converting your B2B audience into high-quality leads today. We'll even give you a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/customer to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/customer. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
It's brand new season two. I'm Marissa Thalberg.
And I'm Stephen Wolf at Adam. And we're excited to be back having bigger, bolder, and always real conversations.
Straight from the C-suite front lines of marketing, media, and more.
We have great friends joining from people you may know, like Wilmer Valderrama and Bobby Burke.
And people you'll want to know. So grab a coffee or, hey, even an Aperol Spritz and come join us on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Listen to Brand New on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Politics is a scam, and here's how to win. Now, when it comes to politics, you've often heard that. It's a scam. My vote doesn't count. There's nothing I can do. Is it going to be free and fair? Will they do mail-in? You know, you're hearing headlines about, is it the most important election of our life? Well, in this section, I want to talk about what all that means. Why people think politics is a scam, why it really is a scam, but how we can win in the face of politics being a scam. Now, if you're just tuning in, you're listening to The Mark Moss Show. I try to bring to you some new insights into politics, finance, and technology, and really the intersection of those three things. And as many headlines are showing right now, as a matter of fact, I saw Ray Dalio on TV the other day saying this will be the most important election of our lives. I want to talk about why that's a big scam. But I am not saying to not participate, but rather I think we should be participating in a different way if we want to win. If we want to win what? If we want to win a country that lives by, that pushes, that allows, that enforces, that cultivates our values, we the people's values, all right? And I'm going to talk about this in a way where I'm actually going to lay out a game plan. I'm urging you to listen to this entire show, listen to the plan that I've laid out, and then get back to me. And more specifically, if you are somebody who has been in politics, if you're somebody who's worked in politics, could be anywhere from city council all the way up to presidential campaign, or if you're somebody who's interested in running for anything from city council up to president, reach out to me and let me know. All right, I'm putting together something that I think we can win with, and I'm going to break it down to you today for the very first time I've ever put this out there in public. And so make sure to stick with me. All right. So the great scam of politics and how we can win. So the first thing is, why are we so caught up with politics anyway? Let's just talk about that for a second. You know, politics sort of plays on a lot of our human emotions. Some of it is that, you know, we as humans are tribal. We want to be part of the group. And so being part of, being involved in politics brings some sort of fulfillment to us. It makes us feel like we're part of the group, and it gives us a sense of purpose. I want to be responsible. I want to help push my group, my tribes, ideology forward. It's what I want. It's what we want. We're going to help push that forward. It's part of the reason why people are so attracted to team sports. You see, I mean, how many grown men are walking around with somebody else's name and number on their back, right? They want to identify with the team. I've never been that big into sports that way, but I remember years ago, when I was younger, I had a roommate and he was like Mr. Baseball. He would watch every baseball game and he would literally hold the bat. He would like hold a bat on the couch while he was like watching it. And it was always, we did this and we did that. And I'm like, you're not playing anything. You're just sitting on the couch with the bat. But we want to identify with these teams and we want to wear their colors. And that's just part of human nature because we are tribal. And it's also because we like competition. We want to advance our ideology or our viewpoint or our team, whatever it may be. It also works on the chemistry in our brain. Being engaged with politics releases a massive amount of dopamine in our brain, and we get addicted to that. And so we want more and more and more of that. So when you watch, you know, these political debates and these political headlines, and a lot of times they're very emotionally charged, and it's that emotion that releases that dopamine, and you want more and more of it. And then you feel like you can do something about it. Then you want to go talk about it. And so then you're involved. You're playing on the team. You're red team, you're blue team. Now, of course, they know that, they being the political machine, let's just call it that. They understand that, which, of course, is why they want to divide us and they want to get us caught up in this red versus blue, Republican versus Democrat, or maybe third party intermediary, the independent party. But either way, they want us to be divided. They want us to identify, and then they want us to compete against each other. Meanwhile, we're so busy competing against each other that we're not watching what's really going on. Now, that's not the scam that I'm talking about, though. Here's the scam that I'm talking about. Right now, all eyes are on what they're saying is the most important election of our life. And that election that we're talking about is, of course, the presidential election that happens every 4 years. So right now we're in an election year. It's driving financial markets. It's driving the media cycles. I'm even talking about it. Now, I don't typically talk about politics. I talk about the intersection of politics, finance, and technology. So where they make a political decision that affects technology or finance, you know, they're going to pass a bill that's going to criminalize Bitcoin, for example, I would talk about that. But I don't typically talk about politics overall, but here I am talking about it. It drives all cycles, financial cycles, media cycles as well. However, I'm talking about how we can beat the scam and we can actually win. Make sure you stick around. I'm going to lay this out for you in a step-by-step blueprint. Okay, but all eyes are on the president. This is why it's a scam. What do I mean by that? So a lot of the questions that you have about should I even vote, like I said, you might be asking yourself, like I said, does my vote even count? I mean, there's 330 million people. Well, now we have a few more million because of immigration, but you know, roughly 330, 350 million people in the United States. What's my vote going to do? Does it even matter? Or you might say, well, it's not a free and fair election. They're going to just flood it with whatever mail-in ballots anyway, and my vote's probably not even going to matter. The mail-in ballot's going to ruin everything. Or it's not what the people want anyway, right? It's the Electoral College. They're the one that's bought and paid for. So even if the population, the mass population, wants somebody, the Electoral College could still go the other way. So you might be thinking all these things, and that's why it's a scam. It's a scam because I'm engaged and I do something, but it doesn't even matter. I was promised that if I gave my voice, that I would have a say, that I have an interest, I can shape the country, but it's not true. So it's a scam, right? I was promised something, I didn't get it. That's the definition of a scam. And again, we're seeing these headlines. It's the most important election of our life. But really, is it? And here's why it's a scam. Two reasons. One, we are not in a democracy or a dictatorship or a monarchy, for that matter. A monarchy is a king. A king makes the decisions. A dictator makes the decisions. We're not in that. We're not even in a democracy. They tell you that we are. They're telling you, the Biden administration is telling you they're trying to protect the democracy. We're not in a democracy. We're in a republic. If you went to school in the United States, you know, and to the republic in which it stands, one nation under God, right? You put your hand over your heart and you said that in a republic. And here's why it matters. In a constitutional republic, the president doesn't matter. It shouldn't matter. Let's say that. It shouldn't really matter. The president manages federal things. Now, over the course of time, more and more things have become federal, and so it does matter to us more and more and more. But in the big scheme of things, the president doesn't really matter. Just look back to the pandemic, for example. So you have, during the pandemic, when Trump was still there, you had in Seattle, you know, people were taking over the downtown, the free state of Chaz or whatever it was, or building their barricades. In Portland, you got Antifa and BLM burning down cities and things like that. And a lot of people were asking Trump to intervene, send troops, stop that. And he's like, hey, it's up to the states. It's up to the states. Or even look at the counting of the votes with Trump. Like a lot of states were saying, take it to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court's like, hey, it's up to the states, right? So we can see this. We can see this time and time again, that the president doesn't have the most power of our life. And so the scam, or we could call it an illusion, sort of like magic, sleight of hand. Magic says, hey, look over there. And then when you're looking over there, they do this to you over here. See, that's how it works. And that's sort of what's happening, where we're all focused on the most important election of our lifetime, on the president, when it doesn't even really matter, or shouldn't matter. The other reason why it's a scam is that it sets this goal. It sets this this goal that we're driving to, we're trying to attain, and it's so big and it's so far that it becomes self-defeating. Well, we can't win the president. Why should we even try? Or I like RFK Jr. He's going to go for an independent. I want to vote libertarian, but there's no way we're going to get a libertarian candidate in. Why should I even try? Now, I want to take a quick break and just let you know that regardless of who wins the election, red or blue or independent for that matter, the one thing that we do know is for certain is more money printing is coming. We had Biden spent more than Trump. Trump spent more than Obama. Obama spent more than Bush. And it doesn't matter red or blue. Everyone's going to spend more money. They're going to steal your wealth through inflation. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to The Mark Maugh Show, talking about why politics is a scam, but how we can win. I'm going to give you the blueprint on how to do that after a quick break. Don't go away. I'll be right back.
My dad works in B2B marketing, but I never really knew what that meant. Then one day, my dad came by my school for career day and told everyone in my class he was a big MQL man. Then he just kept saying things like, the more MQLs, the better, over and over. My friends still laugh at me to this day. I think it means marketing qualified lead. One thing's for sure, I'll be known as the MQL man's kid for the rest of my days. Why couldn't you just be a fireman or a lawyer? Why? You ruined my life, Dad.
Not everyone gets B2B, but LinkedIn has the people who do. And with ads on LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people based on job title, industry, likelihood to buy, and more. Start converting your B2B audience into high-quality leads today. We'll even give you a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/customer to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/customer. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
AI might be the most important new computer technology ever. It's storming every industry, and literally billions of dollars are being invested. So buckle up. The problem is that AI needs a lot of speed and processing power. So how do you compete without costs spiraling out of control? It's time to upgrade to the next generation of the cloud. Oracle Cloud Infrastructure, or OCI. OCI is a single platform for your infrastructure, database, application development, and AI needs. OCI has 4 to 8 times the bandwidth of other clouds, offers one consistent price instead of variable regional pricing, and of course, nobody does data better than Oracle. So now you can train your AI models at twice the speed and less than half the cost of other clouds. If you want to do more and spend less like Uber, 8x8, and Databricks Mosaic, take a free test drive of OCI at oracle.com/strategic. That's oracle.com/strategic. Oracle.com/strategic.
My name is Johnny B. Good, and I'm the host of the new podcast, Creating a Con, the Story of Bitcoin. Over this 9-part series, I'll explore the life and crimes of my best friend, Ray Trapani.
I always wanted to be a criminal.
If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
You see, Ray has this unique ability to find loopholes and exploit them.
They collected $30 million. There were headlines about it.
His company, Centratech, was one of the hottest crypto startups in 2017. It was going to change the world, until it didn't.
I came into my office, opened my email, and the subject heading was FBI request.
It was only a matter of time before the truth came out.
You can only fake it till you make it for so long before they find out that your Harvard degree is not so crimson.
How could you sit there and do something that you know will objectively cause more harm in the world?
Listen to Creating a Con, the story of Bitcoin, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back. If you just tune in, you're listening to The Mark Moss Show. We're talking about why politics is a scam, but how we can win. I went through a lot. I'm not going to recap all that. But the point of me saying that it's a scam is because it's sort of like magic or sleight of hand. We're all being told that the president is the most important election of our life. It's like magic. Hey, look over there. Meanwhile, they're doing this to us over here. And it's also self-defeating because the attainment of changing the presidential party or starting a third party to break the you know, two-party system, if you'll call it that, it's kind of a single-party system, it's so big, it's not even attainable. Why should I try? That's the problem with setting big goals. I'm going to make $1 billion in 30 days. Well, that's not going to happen, so I probably won't do anything. But if I said I only wanted to make $1 in 30 days, I'd probably do that. And then $2 and $3, et cetera. And so that is the key that locks this down. We're going to break this down for you. I'm going to give you the blueprint on exactly how to do this. And I want to lay this out. But part of the scam is, again, we're looking over there. We're looking at the president. Meanwhile, remember the sleight of hand, look over there. Meanwhile, they're doing this over here. So while we're all focusing on the president, that shouldn't matter to our lives. And the goal is so big, it's self-defeating. What really matters is local. Local is what matters. And they've got us to completely overlook and completely ignore all local politics. And not only are we overlooking and ignoring it, meanwhile, they're coming and taking it all over. Right? You've probably heard many times, you've heard people talking about, like Tucker Carlson talking about George Soros taking over all the district attorneys. So they're changing the legal system through what we call lawfare by taking over the legal system, by taking over the DAs, by setting the judges. And so this is being done right under your nose while you're being told to look at the president. That doesn't matter and isn't attainable. They're quietly taking all the things that do. What happens is, if we abdicate all personal responsibility, somebody else is going to step in and fill that gap. So when we say, I don't want to be involved, which I don't, I don't want to be involved, and probably you don't either. I'm busy. I got kids. I got a business. I want to go surfing. I want to live my life. I don't want to go sit at a city council or county meeting or state meeting or any of that. I don't want to go knock doors and try and get people to vote. I don't want to do any of that. But when we abdicate all responsibility, somebody else is going to step in to fill that gap. And most likely, it's going to be somebody that we don't want. All right. Now, let me give you an example real quick before I move on to what winning looks like. And I want to give you this blueprint or plan of how we can do this, how we can change the world this way. But let me just give you an example. So California led the race. They competed with New York to see who could be the most authoritarian during the pandemic. Right? Gruesome Newsom passed all kinds of laws, rules, regulations. I mean, you go to San Francisco, Los Angeles, it was like a war zone. It was like a zombie nation. But I'm in the county down below, down in Orange County. And Orange County was like completely different than Los Angeles County. I mean, it was like night and day, like literally. So my county, the people that ran my county, the county supervisors, were different than the LA supervisors. And so my county was way different than LA. It was like a different state altogether. The sheriff of my county literally put out a press release and said, do not call us for anything COVID related because we will not come. So you see, my sheriff, my local sheriff, had more power over what happened to me during the pandemic than the president did, or my state senators, or any of that. My sheriff mattered. My county supervisors mattered. Now, in my town, I'm not going to tell you what it is, but in my town in Orange County was even better. So in my town, they're like, we're not doing any of this. And so my little town in my county was like a different country. It was like Sweden. It was like Florida. And so my town, my city council was more important. My county supervisor, my sheriff was more important than my governor, more important than my president. So the closer politics is to us, the more important it is. Now, in another town here in Orange County, Huntington Beach, when everyone started talking about masks coming back and all that stuff a few months ago, the city council passed a bill that would have no vaccine mandates and no mask mandates in town. They said, we're preemptively going to do this. So you can see how much power it is, but none of us are paying attention to it. We're all caught up watching Fox News all night or CNN, whatever channel you're watching, watching about the president. That's the scam. Look over there. All right, now, what does winning look like? People have been losing for so long, they wouldn't know when if it literally landed on their face. Vivek Ramaswamy, who was running for president, who made a big splash, who just conceded and decided to join Trump, he said in one of the debates, he said, the Republican Party is a party of losers. The party of losers. And I see this all over. I see these people that just are so addicted to losing, they can't take a win. So, for example, I've been talking a lot about the president Milei down in Argentina. He won. Now, he came in to radically transform the government, basically shut down all these parasitic agencies inside the government and radically transform it. And everybody's like, oh, they'll never let him win. They'll never let him win. They'll never let him win. They'll never let somebody like that come in and make reform. But then he does win. And then people are like, oh, he's just a plant. He's just a weft shill. Like, he's a whatever, right? So it's like they just can't take the win no matter what happens. They just want to be the victim all the time. But winning looks like us actually winning, us actually getting what we want to happen. And we can do that if we organize and make a plan. Now, we can see the world is shifting. Back to Vivek, I mean, he brought a massive amount of enthusiasm and energy that we haven't seen, that the world has been lacking for decades. In my opinion, I haven't seen this in my life. Vivek came from obscurity, from nowhere, from 0% to take 8% of that vote in the last primary before he dropped out, which is a massive monumental feat. I mean, he was hanging with Ron DeSantis, the rock star hero of the Republican Party through the pandemic. He was hanging with him, and he came from nowhere. But it's because he brought this energy, and it's the energy that the world's picking up on. It's what the new president of Argentina brought, Milei. He brought the same energy. It's what Bukele, down the president of El Salvador, is bringing. It's what Giorgia Meloni brought to Italy. Now she's being a little bit neutered. That's a different story. It's why you've seen the rise of Jordan Peterson and Andrew Tate. The world sees this energy. They want this energy, and they want the change, and they're bringing it, and we can harness that. All right, we can harness it. The world is ready for it. The pendulum is swinging back. People are tired of being told that they don't matter, that we hate each other because of race or gender or preference, that we're tired of that. We're tired of being told that our merits don't matter. What matters is our skin color. We're tired of that. We're tired of all of these things. And we want to change. And anybody that will bring a little bit of energy and a little bit of hope can win. I mean, look what the Biden administration is running on today. He's running on a message of hate. The world is so divided, and the reason why is it's those MAGA people. All those MAGA people are the problem. So you're going to demonize more than half the country? That's your goal? You see, what people are attracted by is vision. A vision of hope. And the Bible says without hope, the people perish. We need hope. We need to imagine that the world could be better. And if somebody gives us that message, the people will rally behind them. And that's what Vivek Ramaswamy brought. That's what Milei brought, Bukele brings. And that's how we're going to win. So I want to give you the blueprint of exactly how we can do this. And we can do it in a shorter amount of time and much easier than most people could even imagine. I'm going to give you step by step by step here. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to The Mark Moss Show, going down a path I don't typically talk about. I typically talk about the intersection of politics, finance, and technology. Today, we're just talking about politics because, as they're saying, it's the most important election of our life. But I think it should be different for a different reason. So I'm going to lay out the blueprint of how we win. And I'm putting out a challenge to you. If you have anything to do working in politics or want to be, I would like you to reach out to me and let me know. I'm putting something together. I'll be right back after a short break. Don't go away. I'll be right back.
My name is Johnny B. Good, and I'm the host of the new podcast, Creating a Con, the story of BitCon. Over this 9-part series, I'll explore the life and crimes of my best friend, Ray Trapani.
I always wanted to be a criminal.
If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
You see, Ray has this unique ability to find loopholes and exploit them.
They collected $30 million. There were headlines about it.
His company, Centratech, was one of the hottest crypto startups in 2017. It was going to change the world, until it didn't.
Came into my office, opened my email, and the subject heading was FBI request.
It was only a matter of time before the truth came out.
You can only fake it till you make it for so long before they find out that your Harvard degree is not so crimson.
How could you sit there and do something that you know will objectively cause more harm in the world?
Listen to Creating a Con, the story of Bitcoin on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rocked the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James! LeBron James!
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back. If you just tune in, you're listening to The Mark Maugh Show. We're talking about why politics is a big scam, but how we can win. All right, I broke all of that down for you already. I'm not going to rehash all that. Now I'm going to lay out the blueprint of how we do it. All right, let me break this down for you. All right, so we are in, potentially in the United States, we're a two-party system. Okay, we have Republicans and Democrats. Now, you could say there's an independent party, there's a libertarian party, sure, there's all these other parties, but really it's a two-horse race. Now, you might even say that we don't even have a two-party system. It's really just a one-party system, which I might even agree with you on that. So whatever. Okay, but I don't want to talk about that. But let's just say we have a two-party system. And if we think about it like this, the Republican and the Democrat Party, they're apparatuses. So it's an apparatus. It's a machine that organizes and raises money and sort of brings people together to push an agenda. Okay, so it's an apparatus. We have two parties that are apparatuses. Now, there's Republicans and Democrats, right? That's the red and blue. Let's just call it red and blue. Now, within those red and blue teams, there's different ideologies, okay? So you could say categorically that Democrats and Republicans think differently. Traditionally, Republicans have been more sort of pro-business, low taxes, low growth, more, we could say, capitalistic, maybe. And you would say traditionally the Democrats have been more socialistic. They believe in, helping out lower income people and more government assistance and things like that. Now, you might even say before that Republicans were sort of conservative, and so they were more restrictive, and then Democrats were more liberal, liberalism, right? So liberalism wanted to be a little bit more progressive. So when the conservatives were trying to restrict, the progressives tried to push, right? Now, that would be true historically if we want to use very broad stereotypes, but broad stereotypes don't really help us. What we could do if we dive down, we can see in each of these apparatuses, red and blue, there's different ideologies within them. So for example, if we look at the Democratic Party, we can see that it certainly was sort of represented by these free liberal thinkers that wanted to sort of have this progressive push towards more freedom. I'm free to marry who I want, love who I want, read what I want, etc. But that has sort of been, that party has been co-opted by the left. The left, sort of led by like the Squad and AOC and them, and they're hard left, the Bernie Sanders. They're socialists. They're communists. All right. And they are not for more freedom. They are walk the party line or we'll kill you, basically. And they believe that that thoughts and words are equal to violence, and they have the right to respond with violence, which is why you see the riots and things like that. So that party has different ideologies within it, and one ideology has started to take over and get rid of the other parties, which is why RFK had to leave the party and go to an independent party. It's why you saw, where you're seeing lots of Democrats leaving the party, and a lot of big notable ones like Tulsi Gabbard as well. It's because the party has been co-opted by a different ideology. And so the Democrats that were there, it no longer meets their ideology. They had to leave. In the Republican Party, you can also say the same thing. There's lots of ideologies within the Republican Party. So in the Republican Party, you have what we call rhinos. Rhinos are Republican in name only, meaning you're not really a Republican. You call yourself a Republican, but you're certainly not. And we can put a lot of people in there. Most of the people that have been there for a really long time are part of that. Certainly Nikki Haley, that's running for president, is certainly that. She should certainly be on the Democratic Party, but for some reason she's running on the Republican side. She's a Republican in name only. Then you have other ideologies. So you have like the House Freedom Caucus, for example, and they're certainly more like libertarian, right? So they're more like libertarian freedom. And then you have more of the conservative type people. So you have different ideologies within the Republican Party as well, which is why it's almost impossible for me, and it should be for you as well, to align yourself 100% with any person or any party. There's certain things I like of certain things. With RFK Jr., there's certainly things that I really like about him, but there's also some things that I just don't like about him, right? And how can you align yourself to anything, especially one party, because there's all these different ideologies within that. Okay, now that we've set that stage, let's talk about how we win, what this blueprint looks like. All right. And again, if you have worked in politics anywhere from city council all the way up to president, campaigns, things like that, or you'd like to, let me know. Reach out to me. I'm putting something together on this blueprint. But here's the blueprint. Okay. So what we need to do is, instead of focusing on, let's go create a new party, let's change the Republican Party, let's get a new president in there, forget Trump, let's get Vivek. Let's start a third party. Let's go with RFK and we'll get a third party to compete against the red and blue parties. Instead of that, because that goal is too big. It's unattainable. And when we set goals too big, we don't take action on them. And they don't matter anyway. What matters is, again, as I said, my local politics. And that's where we can win. That's where we start. So what we do, and I want to just shout out Dr. James Lindsay. I listened to him lay this out, and I haven't been able to stop thinking about it, and I'm basically putting it back out there. So Dr. James Lindsay, shout out to you. But we can win locally, all right? Now, when you look at a lot of these votes, you'll see that they come down to one or two votes or three votes. They're not, we're not, when I say we, meaning we the people who want more freedom in our lives, we're not that outgunned. Like, the entire establishment has not been co-opted that much. And all we need is one or two people to step in to swing the votes over, and we can start locally. So it starts with my local city council. The chance of you or you helping somebody else get onto your city council is a million times easier or better than try to get somebody onto president, right? So you could run for city council, or you could help somebody else run for city council. And what you could do is we should say, this is the plan. We're going to start locally. We're going to win a couple seats. Once we win a couple of seats, we're going to start making alliances with people that have similar ideologies as us, and we're going to bring more people in. And look, this is what the left has done. All right, so we're just going to do the exact same playbook, but you and I, people like us, need to get involved if we want to change the world. So we get into city council, we help somebody else get into city council, and they make alliances with one or two other people that are there that have similar ideologies, and over a period of time, they start to push the other people that see things differently out. So if you like free market principles and free trade and you want to have your own money and control your own destiny, then you align with people like that. And then when you have the socialists and communists on the city council, you work to push those people out. Now, that's doable. Now, if I could get my city council, maybe I can help one or two other people get city councils in my same county, and then we could go after a county seat. And if I can get onto a county seat, let's say I run on the Republican Party, and then I align with other people on the Republican Party to get more people like us on the Republican side, and the rhinos on the Republican side, we start to push them out. Now, if we can announce this in advance and we win a city, that gives people encouragement. That's why you set small micro goals. If we could get a city council, all of a sudden, we did it. Oh my gosh. Look at this. We have positive progress. We could do this. And then we get a couple more cities. Oh my gosh, we're making progress. Then we get a county seat. Oh my goodness, it is happening. And it starts to build a movement that people can rally behind. Rather than being like Vivek said and being a party of losers, now we're starting to win. And now we get a couple county seats. Then we get the next county and the next county. Before you know it, we can get seats at the state. You see, so we start at the bottom, we get a couple cities, then we get a county, then we get a couple counties, then we can get some seats at the state. Now, if we build that momentum, and this is going to take a while, this has not happened overnight, which is another reason why people have a problem with it. It's long-term thinking, but then we might be able to affect the governor. This is the long-term plan. Look it up, what they did in Colorado. I think it's called the playbook, if you Google it. I think it's called the playbook, how they turned Colorado. They did the same thing. This is their plan. They have it, and you and I need to organize around this. Then we get a couple seats at the state, and then we take the governor. Now, I want to continue to lay out, I'm giving the high level, and then we'll dig into details of this. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to the Mark Moss Show. Like I said, typically I'm talking about finance, politics, and technology intersection. Today, we're just talking about politics. I don't typically do this, but it's that important. If you've worked in politics or want to, reach out to me because I want to hear from you. I'm putting together a group that we can make some progress here. But I want to continue to lay out the high level blueprint, and then we're going to dig into the specifics of how we can make this doable, what it would mean if we win, what that looks like, and so much more. I got to take a very quick break though. I'll be right back after a very short break. Don't go away. I'll be right back.
My name is Johnny B. Good, and I'm the host of the new podcast, Creating a Con, the story of Bitcoin. Over this 9-part series, I'll explore the life and crimes of my best friend, Ray Trapani.
I always wanted to be a criminal.
If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
You see, Ray has this unique ability to find loopholes and exploit them.
They collected $30 million. There were headlines about it.
His company, Centratech, was one of the hottest crypto startups in 2017. It was going to change the world, until it didn't.
Came into my office, opened my email, and the subject heading was FBI request.
It was only a matter of time before the truth came out.
You can only fake it till you make it for so long before they find out that your Harvard degree is not so crimson.
How could you sit there and do something that you know will objectively cause more harm in the world?
Listen to Creating a Con, the story of Bitcoin, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rock the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James! LeBron James!
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back. If you just tune in, you're listening to The Mark Moss Show, talking about why politics is a scam and how we win. Now, I was laying out the blueprint for how we win. We, instead of focusing on this big goal of a new political party, like an independent party or change the Republican Party, instead of that goal that's too big that we'll never obtain, instead we start small. This is just goal setting 101. Again, I said earlier, right? Like if my goal, I'm going to lose 100 pounds in 30 days, like there's just no way I'm going to do that, so I'm not even going to try. But if my goal is just to lose 5 pounds, like that's doable. I'll work on that. And then if I lose 5, I can try 5 the next month and 5 the next month, right? And you can get there. So you need these bite-sized chunks, these milestones, if you will, so you can start doing it. So the basis of the blueprint was, one, we sort of announced what we're doing. We are going to reclaim a party, let's say the Republican Party. We're going to reclaim it. We want to get rid of the rhinos, and we want to bring in more libertarian free market people into the Republican Party. Think about the Republican Party as an apparatus, not an ideology. Okay, it's an apparatus that holds many ideologies. And what you want to do is you want to align the ideologies within that apparatus, just like what the left has done. So we announce it. We talk about it. People get excited. We know this. We see what's happening with Jordan Peterson and what happened with Vivek Ramaswamy. We see this movement that's welling up. People want this. And if you don't want to go do it, somebody else will, and you can support that person. So we start in the city. And when people see that we can actually win, then that energy will build. We get a couple city seats. We get more cities. We get a couple cities. We get a county seat. We get a couple county seats. We start getting more counties. We get more counties. We take state seats. We take state seats. We get a governorship. Now, as this starts to sweep through, we can start to take back, you know, then you can get into, if you wanted to get a look at the judges, the district attorneys, obviously the sheriffs. Those are very key positions for us as well. We can then start to get into the Electoral College and all of that. Now, this is a long-term roadmap. The left did not co-opt the Democratic apparatus overnight. It didn't happen in a couple of years. It's happened over many, many years. It's happened over decades. And so I know for a lot of people, this is hard to imagine because it's such a long-term plan. But if we can stick with the game plan, if we can stick with the roadmap, if we can stick with understanding what it is that we want, what the type of world is that you and I want, not just for ourselves because this is a long-term thing, but what type of world do I want for my kids and my grandkids to have? And honestly, that's where my head is at. Like I said, I'm getting older. Like I'm starting to think about working less, not working more. I like to focus on my business where I can have real results, not just talking in circles. Going into politics feels like it would give me brain damage. That's the last thing I want to do. I want more time off work. I want to travel more. I want to go hang out with my kids. The last thing I want is to get brain damage trying to deal with this. But if we don't, then who does? Thomas Paine, one of the founding fathers of the United States, said that if there must be trouble, let it be in my day, so my kids may know peace. You see, and so if we don't do this, then what? Will our kids do it? Will our grandkids do it? Ronald Reagan said that freedom is never more than one generation away from being lost. He said that freedom was not passed to us in the bloodline. We didn't just inherit it by being born. Instead, he said it must be fought for by every single generation. So it's up to us. So I don't want to do it. You don't want to do it. Maybe collectively we could work on this together. All right. So we start small. We announce the plan. We go locally. We get some wins. We use the momentum and the energy to move up the ladder. We get the cities, we get the counties, we get the states, and then we can go for the big one. We don't have to get rid of the Republican or Democratic Party. We don't have to start a third apparatus. We can just align the apparatus more in line with the will of the people, of the majority of the people. I'm not talking about subverting democracy. What I'm talking about is in a democracy, it should be the will of the people. And from what I can see from the rise of Vivek and Jordan Peterson and Tate and Trump and all of these things, the will of the people seems to be pretty clear. The will of the people want to have more freedom. The will of the people want to be left alone. The will of the people don't want to see their life savings continue to be eaten away by inflation. Inflation that's caused by a runaway government that can't stop spending while they're spending hundreds of billions of dollars to go over to Ukraine so that they can steal that money and line their own pockets. This is not about political things. This is about we the people. What does it take for humans to have more flourishment? What does it take for me to be able to direct my life as I see fit? Well, I got to get the government out of the way. Again, I don't know where you live, but I mean, in California, I can't even go to the park and have a party for my kid without getting permits. And I can't even get someone to deliver balloons to the park without getting using their approved vendors, or else I'm operating in the black market. I'm technically illegal. In Ayn Rand's book, Atlas Shrugged, they said, when you have to get permission to produce from men who produce nothing. You see, the world is built from the bottom up. The world should be built from people like you and I who understand what it is that we want, and we go build that out. Now, some of you are being hired to go build other people's dreams, but most of us should be building the world that we want, directing our lives as we see fit. The world changes by the builders, by the doers, as Teddy Roosevelt said, by the men in the arena, not the critics, not the people that are over in Davos right now, the old people that flew over there in their private jets and sit around on these think tanks, and they're trying to tell the whole world how they can control everything and run everything, and they're 80 years old and they should probably be on a beach somewhere in a retirement home. I don't know. It's not run by those people. Those people don't live in the real world. Those people are not building. What they're trying to do is they're trying to hang on to any amount of power that they have by controlling your life, by censoring what you say, by controlling the money that you have, and even controlling the food. You understand that the system that they operate is about, well, actually, Murray Rothbard wrote a book called The Anatomy of the State, which I highly recommend, Anatomy of the State. And he talks about the state. There is no such thing as a state. There is just you and I as individuals. Now, collectively, you and I, where our interests align, now we can create a town or a city or a state, but it should be working for the collective interest of the people. But the people are always greater than the state. There is no state. But the state is an apparatus that gets started. And he talks about in the book that the purpose of the state is to always constantly grow and protect their power. They grow and protect their power by passing laws and regulations. Regulations that we're being told are there to protect us, but in reality only protect them. So think about all these regulations around money. You can't launch a security, you can't raise money, you can't invest in cryptocurrency, you can't transfer more than $10,000, blah, blah, blah. Okay, that's to protect you and I as a consumer. Well, if we let you just invest into anything, you might lose your money in some risky investment, right? The reality is it's always to protect them. You see, they want to keep all money in their system by their gatekeepers. Think about this. We haven't even thought about this because we haven't been around this in so long, but you can't even send money to somebody without going through a corporation. How are you going to send me money? PayPal? Okay. Corporation. Venmo? Okay. Corporation. On a credit card? Okay. Corporation. Oh, through a bank? Zelle? Okay. Corporation. You can't even send me money. Now, you can't do anything more than $10,000 without breaking the law. It's a regulation because, of course, you know, terrorism. So those regulations aren't to protect you. It's to protect them. They want your money to be trapped in the system so they can rent seek. They can take a percentage of each transaction as it goes through, and they can get in the middle and stop that like a toll booth and block that transaction anytime they want. AI. Now they're going to pass regulations to protect you and I from AI. The reality is they want to control AI. The last thing they want is for you and I to have the power like we do with the internet. They're kicking themselves for letting us do that, which they're trying to wrestle away from us right now through misinformation and malinformation. But with AI, they're passing regulations to protect you and I. The reality is they want it. They want to control it. But we can turn the tide, the will of the people, if we start from the bottom up. That's my plan. I'd love to hear from you if you have been in politics at all, from a city up to a presidential election, or you'd like to be. Reach out to me on social media. I'm putting together something. I'd love to hear from you. And that's what I got. You're listening to The Mark Maugh Show, talking about politics. Usually it's politics, finance, and technology. And that's what I got. Thanks so much for listening. Till next time.
It's brand new season 2. I'm Marissa Thalberg.
And I'm Stephen Wolf Bedatum. And we're excited to be back having bigger, bolder, and always real conversations.
Straight from the C-suite front lines of marketing, media, and more.
We have great friends joining from people you may know, like Wilmer Valderrama and Bobby Burke.
And people you'll want to know. So grab a coffee or, hey, even an Aperol Spritz and come join us on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Listen to Brand New on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty: Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Johnny B. Goode, the host of the podcast Creating a Con, The Story of BitCon. This podcast dives deep into the story of Ray Trapani and his company, CentraTech. I'll explore how 320-somethings built a company out of lies, deceit, and greed.
I've been saying since a very young age that I was going to be a millionaire. If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
Listen to Creating a Con, The Story of BitCon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.